Good evening, friends. This is Carolyn Evers. And as you know, this is my favorite time of the week to be here to share with you. You hopefully share with me. And I'm here with one of my favorite guys.
Hi, Carolyn.
Yeah, he's my favorite doctor. Dr. Presser. Anyway, we are so excited about tonight. Well, I'm excited, and I think Richard is also, because one of the things that we had done is ask our listeners to send us the names of people that they might want to hear on the show. And tonight, if you're getting our emails, then you know that who's tonight, Richard?
It's King Arthur.
Yes. And he said he would bring his queen, Guinevere, if we wanted him to, if we have enough time, because I've got so many questions for him. And before we begin, I'd like to tell my friends how we choose these people who we bring forth on the radio. Well, as you know, we have a list of individuals that our listeners have sent to us. And what we do is we go over the list, we talk about the people on the list, we exchange ideas as to what kind of show it would produce, the questions that we would want. And lo and behold, usually one of them will come into our awareness and they put their hand up, I'll be on the show. And this is exactly what these individuals do. They come and they say they want to be on the show, and then they give us some ideas to what they want to talk about, and the rest is history. So I wanted to tell you that, how we go about choosing these individuals, or shall I say they choose us. And we just think that the whole process is so remarkable from two points of view. One, we're here talking about individuals, and they're on the other side listening. So what do you think of that? Quite remarkable, isn't it? I wanted to say that. Then the other thing is Richard usually, well, I shouldn't say usually, Richard picks up their energy, their, and when I say energy, you know, this might sound like some word to people. Oh, what does that mean? Well, you know, you have people in your surroundings. There are some people who have a calm nature about them, and you pick up this, dare I use it, the word energy, of their calmness. There are other people that you know who are nervous Nellies, and you can't stand to be in the room with them for 5 minutes before you thought, phew, good, get rid of that. You're picking up their energy. It is a thought process. It is something that they become. And Richard's very good at this, picking up the energy of the individuals who come and chat with us. And I can tell King Arthur is here. And Richard, before we begin, and I know he's really anxious to chat with us and our listeners, can you give some thought as to what you are feeling about his energy as he comes forth?
Yes, I have to say the contrast between last week and this is remarkable. Last week we had Michael Jackson, as you know, and such a refined, ethereal, just sweet energy, almost, you would say. And King Arthur, whilst there is this sense of honesty and joy about him, there is this power, there is this strength to him, which is quite remarkable, and you can imagine how he was as a man living upon this planet. You could feel his power, feel the strength that he would take forward in his leadership in battle and in other things. It's quite remarkable how that comes through in their energy as they come forth.
Yeah, I thought our listeners would be interested in that. I had a connection with King Arthur several years ago, and what I experienced when he came and chatted with me is exactly what you said. It's masterful, powerful. When he spoke to you, you really knew that here was a gentleman who would get attention. His presence in a room had to have been electrifying. And extremely unique along those lines. And so he's here today. And Richard, if you'd have felt this energy already and described it, would you be kind enough to connect with him?
Yes, he's here.
I knew he was. And so, King Arthur, before I have a list of questions, so many questions, but before I begin that, is there some message, perhaps, that you might want to give to our listeners and to us, Richard and myself, before we begin?
Firstly, I wish to say that I feel very honored to be invited by you to join this special gathering. It is a unique opportunity to speak forth from the other side, if you will, to express my perceptions of my time and indeed of yours. And so I am very honored that you would give me this opportunity. And I wish to take a moment to to mention my time, if you will. There have been many books written about what unfolded in my time, and it truly was a special time. It indeed was one of those times when we felt there was the opportunity to bring forth a golden age upon the planet. And if you reflect upon the stories of the nature of Camelot and all that it represented, there was a special atmosphere about that. There was a brotherhood, an egalitarian nature to it all, which was very special and something which I worked very hard to foster and create. And we were very successful with that for quite a period of time. And so it was a special time indeed upon the planet. And as you know, the energies of that still remain in a sense. And I wish to mention to you that, as has happened so many times when attempts were made to bring forth a golden age in that way, or indeed there have been previous attempts at ascension upon the planet, these efforts have been overrun by those of the dark, and those who destroyed Camelot, those who overran us, were a very dark lot, a very dark lot indeed. And so, in a sense, my time was one of those moments where we reached for that greatness, but we were unable to hold it. And you, my dear friends, live in that time when once more there is that grasp being made for greatness, for in this case, ascension. And on this occasion, you will succeed because so many pieces have been put in place to ensure that it will be so.
Thank you. Now, the first thing that I would like to start with, King Arthur, is while we hear from different historians, they are having a hard time placing you in a historical place as a historical person. And if you'd be kind enough, give me an idea as to where you resided and Queen Guinevere resided and where Camelot was.
Yes, there have been many who recognize that Avalon is a very special place in Britain, and indeed Camelot was located in that area of the country.
Now, my recollection of Avalon would have been very close to the tour, that tower that was built by Joseph of Arimathea on that hill, which is a very powerful point. Would you agree or disagree with me? Do I have it right? Would it have been near that part of Britain?
Indeed it was. You are exactly in the right area. That has been a very powerful place for the light for a long time, and that area was very powerful under the Druids and even before their time. And as you may be aware, Joseph of Arimathea was an archdeacon with the Druids, even though he lived in what you would call Israel today. He lived in that area of the world as his home. He had studied many, many traditions and was a great leader amongst the Druids. And so he understood that area, he understood the power of that location, and it is why he chose it to, you could say, leave his mark.
And for those people who are not familiar with the tour, that would be near Glastonbury. I just thought I would mention that to connect our listeners to where your home was. And did you have any other names besides Arthur before you actually became king, so that perhaps we might place a finger, so to speak, of, you know, the pulse of who you were? Did you have other names besides Arthur?
I did. Carolyn, you know I struggle with names. This is going to be interesting. You're saying you may know that there is a name for me mentioned in that book, Anna, Grandmother of Jesus, and indeed that name is accurate. I'm getting something like Pendergast or something like that.
Yes, I know who you're talking about, and I can't think of it at the moment, but we will come back and give that to our listeners later, because I think this is a very interesting point. And were you, give me some insight as to Queen Guinevere. Of course, there was a period of time when the two of you had not married. And so if you can give me some perspective of Queen Guinevere and how you came to know her, I think the women in the audience would like to know that.
My beautiful queen was a great beauty. She was radiant, and I simply met her when I was out riding, and she too was out riding with those who were taking care of her, and her beauty struck me, and we were drawn to each other, and we came to understand that we were meant to come together, that indeed we are ones who had come together in many lifetimes, as the two of you understand. And she was like a magnet to me, and I sense eye to her. It was a beautiful time, a beautiful relationship that we both cherished greatly.
I have journeyed in my mind to Camelot, to the castle that you lived in, and I have some pictures in my mind. If you could just tell the audience, because when you hear and see with your mind the castle that you lived in, it really gives a sense of that period. So would you be kind enough, King Arthur, just to give a few words about what your castle was like?
It was a grand palace, you could say. It was a pretty castle, much more colorful, much more alive than most castles. And so it was opulent, it was a joyful place, there was lots of gaiety, lots of music, lots of joy, because we believed in engaging life to the full. We were not living just about war or fighting others. We were not looking to conquer so many others. We simply wanted to defend what was ours and live in joy and peace. And so we expressed that to the fullest in our castle. It was a colourful place, as I say, colourful, joyful, full of merriment, full of discipline also. There was a lot of structure about how we did things. And people, for the most part, could freely come and go because there was great trust, there was great love amongst the people, there was great peace. And even though there was a castle where we lived, it was a place that was open to any man to come. There was great trust. And yes, there was defense in a subtle way. There were ways of detecting those who may have wanted to, you could say, contravene the standards that we had set. And we could find them and ensure that they did not achieve their objectives. But for the most part, it was a beautiful, joyful place that we lived in.
When I saw one of the scenes, I was certainly interested in the lives of you and your queen, and I journeyed there in my mind. I saw these enormous fireplaces just burning, gay, so much wood being burned in these beautiful fireplaces, and people were laughing. There were tables with food on it, and it was an exquisite place. Now, if we can move a little further, I'd like to understand a little bit about the round table. Can you give me some idea? Number one, was it truly round as we have in tradition?
It was round.
And what was your thoughts about making a place that was round? I know you put great thought into that, why you made it round. Can you give, because I think it tells something about your personality.
Yes, it is my view then as it is now that all people in their essence are equal. Yes, there are others that have levels of responsibility, if you will, but in the end, people are all the same. And those who fought with me, those who shared the battles, if you will, the chivalry, I saw them as my equals. Yes, I led them and they understood that, but I wanted their input on how we went about things, how we proceeded, how we governed. It was, in truth, an egalitarian approach, and it worked very well. There were some great ideas, great contributions that came forth from the others, which I certainly feel in more traditional structures simply do not come forth. And for the most part, I felt we minimized the kind of infighting and intrigue which can come forth, though we were not entirely without it.
Well, there's a name that is in legend along with yours, and that is Sir Lancelot. Can you give us your input about Sir Lancelot? What would you say about him?
Sir Lancelot was a great knight, and you understand a little of the background in the sense that there was a very close connection between the two of us at a soul level, And he carried some great responsibilities, and he was a great knight. And there have been stories created that he formed a relationship with Guinevere, which compromised her and my relationship, and I can assure you that that was not the case. However, that has been put forth by those who wish to discredit what we were about and to undermine its contribution to the consciousness of humanity. There is no basis in that story whatsoever. And so I take the opportunity to put that straight. And Lancelot served well. He served me well. He was an honourable man and made a great contribution to the court in the roles and the responsibilities that he fulfilled.
Your queen is one of the individuals that came forth and gave us a part in a discussion with one of the books that we've put out, Chaos Before Creation, and she mentioned the same thing, that there was nothing to the story of her and Lancelot, that it was a story that was put out by the dark to discredit the divine feminine. So I thank you for bringing that forth. Now, you talked about the dark and how the dark brought down those glory days of Camelot. Can you give us some input as to who these dark were in the area?
As you know, as life has unfolded upon the planet, there have been those beings that have represented the light and those that have represented the dark. This has been so since the fall in Atlantis some 12,500 to 13,000 years ago. And indeed, there the dark were present in Atlantis, as you know, and this was the reason that the fall was brought forth. And so there has been this interplay, this interaction. And so there were forces, there was an army, if you will, that represented those of the dark who wished to destroy all that we represented and to conquer and dominate people in general. And so they came forth and we lost to them in battle, and I lost my life in that process. Mm. And so they overran all that we had brought forth and all that we stood for, as has happened through every time that has been, every attempt that has been made to bring forth a golden age or ascension on planet Earth since the fall. Each time up until now, the dark has overrun those efforts, but they will not succeed this time.
Thank you for your assurance. We're going to take a little break from my questioning and bring in a listener, if you will, King Arthur. And this is Ivy from New York. She's on line one. Hi, Ivy.
Hi.
And what question do you have for King Arthur?
First, I just want to say thank you to King Arthur and to both of you for bringing him. Yes. As I recently just found out that he's watching over me, and I want to thank him for being with me. And my question has to do with the magic of the time, the priestesses that were part of Avalon, and who was Morgan Le Fay and Vivian, the Lady of the Lake?
Did you hear that, King Arthur, or do I need to repeat it, the question?
I think he heard it. For my benefit, because it's important, are we talking about two different beings here?
Yeah, Vivian was one. Who was the other, Ivy?
I said the first one was Morgan Le Fay, also known
Morgan,
as Morgan of the Fairies.
Wait a minute, I'm having trouble with that, too. Morgan what?
Morgan Le Fay.
Morgan Le Fay. I'm not familiar with that. Is that a man, a woman?
Oh, no. She was very famous. She's Morgan of the Fairies. She was known as Morgan of the Fairies.
Okay, Morgan of the Fairies. And the other one was what?
And Vivian, otherwise known as Lady of the Lake. Lord Tennyson wrote a poem about her.
Oh, okay, Vivian, Lady of the Lake. And your question was you want King Arthur to give his thoughts about these two?
Yes, like they were two of the most well-known of the priestesses of that time, and I just wondered, how is he connected to them? And
good question.
Who were they? What did they do for that time period?
I guess maybe a way to put the question is, there are two priestesses who were famous during that time, and so Ivy wants to know King Arthur's connection to these two, and perhaps maybe the role that they played during that time. So we will turn over to you, Richard, to get this answer from him, if you would.
It is an interesting question that you ask, because indeed it was a magical time. As you all know, Merlin was around at that time, and some of you may be aware that we have a very close soul connection, and he had been around a long time before I came forward, and he taught me much. And so there was a great understanding of magic and mystical matters at that time. And many of the priestesses of that time were cherubim, because it was a time of an attempt at a golden age. There were many cherubim present, and they are so often associated with the great goddesses and the mystical ones. And both of those of whom you speak were cherubim who had come forth to support that special time as we sought to create a golden age upon the planet. And indeed I knew them, and knew them very well. They were closely connected to the work we were trying to do on a deeper level.
Well, Ivy, there you got your answer.
Thank
Was there anything else that you wanted to know about them?
Just I feel very connected to them myself. And the last 2 days have been very unusual in that I've been meeting people in the last 2 days that have this connection to the priestesses. I've met in the last month like at least three that were sisters. We call each other sisters that were priestesses during that time. And I don't know what my question is.
I can help you with that question, Ivy. Just hold it for a second. I think we can help you. King Arthur, you probably are aware of this dear lady that is on the phone, Ivy. And she is here on Earth at the present time, of course. And so can you tell what her role was to perhaps you and these priestesses that she is speaking of? I suspect there might be a connection between the two. Can you give us some thoughts about this?
There is indeed a connection, and this is what is driving her questioning of me, because she feels that connection very deeply. Some of you are aware that humanity, have entered the time when memories are beginning to return, memories of past lives, and these will bubble up more and more for people as these pieces come into place. And you, dear one, have a very close connection to the one that you called the Lady of the Lake, because you are she in this lifetime.
Oh, I had a sense of that. Thank you for bringing
that. Wow, hello.
Are you ready to be bowled over, Ivy?
This is why I should have avoided doing the soul healing with you guys, because I'm just afraid to just get blown away. But here
okay,
I am.
Now that we have blown you away, let me ask you a question, Ivy. Before you got on the line and asked this question, did you have a sense that you were connected in some way to the Lady of the Lake?
Yes, because I've been online for the last 2 hours looking up Vivian Lee photos, because I look identical to her and Vivian, and her name's Vivian. And she lived in England, right? So there's some connection there as well, but that's probably another story.
Okay, so why did you come forth in this lifetime, Ivy? Give me a quick answer. Don't think about it. Why are you here on Earth?
To bring light.
To bring light. Okay, and I'm going to ask you another quick question, and you answer it without thinking. How are you going to bring this light? First thing comes to mind.
Sing.
Sing?
I don't know why I said that.
So
I do sing, but that's like on the back burner. That's not in my forefront. So.
Well, then I want to know what's on the forefront burner. Come on. First thing.
I do healing. I'm a teacher.
Oh, there you go.
But first and foremost in my life right now, I'm a mother. I'm a mother right now.
Of course you're a mother, but you're a healer. That's why you're here now. So, do you think that you're related in mission to Richard and myself?
Yes.
You really make it hard. I really had to squeeze it out of you, didn't I? Before we go on further, King Arthur, do you wish to comment on this little bit of conversation that I've had with Ivy and her mission?
You're saying I would agree completely with all of that. She is one that has come forth to bring forth those commands that the two of you have been given, as indeed have so many other cherubim, and they continue to connect with you in one way or another because they are destined to do so. Their souls are prompting them to find a way to connect with you, and as you know, they are doing just that.
Thank you, King
Arthur.
And
thank you so much.
Ivy Cherubim sister. You got it here, honey. Have fun with that one. We have another one on the line. Elizabeth from New Jersey is on line too. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Interesting conversations, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why I was so prompted to call, because I feel such a strong connection as well.
And what connection do you have it with the Lady of the Lake, King Arthur, another?
I'm really not sure. It's just something I feel.
Okay, and
I don't have any names in my mind or anything like that. And that truly is
a test. You just feel. It comes up out of your body. It's not something. I mean, later it comes into your mind, but it is this gut reaction that you have with something, and trust that, Elizabeth. So,
okay.
What are you feeling? Tell me what you're feeling.
I feel a very strong Merlin connection.
Merlin, did you say?
Merlin, yes. And I'm curious, was Merlin in the flesh with King Arthur, or was he more etheric?
Good question. Let's ask King Arthur. King Arthur, was Merlin in the flesh with you on Earth, or was he in the etheric that you were working with him?
He was indeed in the flesh, very much so. He lived a long time. He lived some 800 years. He had mastered the ability to rejuvenate his body. And few understand that Merlin indeed was a brother to Mother Mary. He was a child of Anna, the grandmother of Yeshua. So there are some very powerful connections here, and there are more than that.
Oh, so for you people who are taking notes, we've got some interesting information coming forward. And since you have heard of that, Elizabeth, I want you to give me the first answer. Why are you here?
I feel a very strong connection to Anna, Mother of Jesus.
And so why are you here in this lifetime? Why'd you come?
I would also answer to spread light.
Spread light. It's a beautiful thing to do, to spread light. And how would you spread light, my dear?
With healing. Emotional healing.
Got another here. Turn around and look at your back, sweetheart. You got a little set of wings back there. Do you feel connected to Richard's work and my work?
Absolutely. Yes. Would you be so kind as to ask King Arthur if he feels any connection to my energy?
I'll do more than that. Dear King Arthur, do you know this lady?
This one is also a cherubim that was present in my time as she is present in this time. She is one that has come every time that these attempts have been made. So she was present when Camelot was around and so many other times. So yes, we know each other.
Well, how about that, Elizabeth?
Sweet. I feel the cherubim energy, and every time the cherubim are mentioned, I feel a certain stirring in my heart.
Oh, bless you. Well, should Richard put your name on the list?
Absolutely. Put my name on the list.
Okay.
And thank you so much for your work. It's so inspiring and beautiful.
Richard's
trying to tell you something, dear. What were you going to tell her, Richard?
Yeah, send me an email with your details so I can add you. I need that.
And that's true for Ivy, too, if she's still listening. You need to send Richard an email with your name and, of course, the email address would be on there, and put it on the list. You have a pleasant evening, Elizabeth. And on the next line,
it's
Harold from, it looks like, Chico, California is on line 3. Hi, Harold.
Hi, dear. Hi.
What can we do for you? Questions. This is fun, isn't
it? Well, I have a few questions for King Arthur. Shall I go ahead with them?
Well, let's start with one.
Okay, dear. Okay, well, now I can only assume he's an ascended master, and if he is, I'd like to know what his name is.
Now, when you say what his name is, how far back are we going?
Oh, just presently, his ascended master name presently.
Well, let me ask King Arthur and see what he says to this. King Arthur, is it fair to say that you have an ascended master name?
I do not have another name by which I am known in the so-called circles that interact with humanity in that manner. I simply carry the name of Arthur as you find me coming forth here. However, what I will say is that I have a great connection to many of those that you consider ascended masters because they share my soul monad, and that soul monad is the one you have heard mentioned as Archangel Sandalphon, and that is the same monad as Merlin and as Saint Germain and many others. So we have a few connections, you could say.
Now, I would like to ask Harold if he understands that.
Not entirely, but is there an emanation connected here by the name of El Moria?
Well, I'll ask him that. To King Arthur, is any of the, how shall we say this? Did Archangel Sandalphon send forth an incarnation that was known as El Moria?
He's saying there is no connection.
Okay. Let me explain something to you, Harold.
Yes.
And this might help. The A-soul is extremely large. If you go back to, how shall we say, the original construction, when the soul came forth, when Prime Creator created the soul, it was very large. And this soul is way too big to be in one physical body. In other words, it would be like trying to put an elephant in a thimble. And so,
yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that soul sends forth, you might say, a finger of its ability, and incarnates, and so there will be a long string of different parts of that soul that comes forth and incarnates into a physical form, and so they have many names. And what King Arthur is saying is he was giving you a few of the names that his monad, Archangel Sandathon, experienced in the earth plane. Now, does that help you?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Right. While I'm on the line, did I have a connection with King Arthur in the past?
Good question. So, King Arthur, do you recognize this gentleman, Harold, as in the past having a connection with you?
This one was present in that lifetime. He is also one that comes forth each time there is an attempt at a golden age or ascension on planet Earth. And so he was present in that time also, just as he is present now.
Does that answer your question, Harold?
That gets pretty good.
Well,
yeah.
if you're interested in getting on the list, then I suggest you send a little email to Richard. And I will say this. Each time there is an attempt at a golden age, as King Arthur mentioned, the group of cherubim come to Earth. They incarnate to help to support the overall mission. And so, again, these cherubim angels will incarnate in these different periods of time, and they have different names as they have incarnated, but they're all coming from that same soul monad. And so we've had some ladies here who are cherubim, and now we've got a gentleman. So
yeah,
hopefully that has answered your questions, Harold.
I understand that I incarnate during times of chaos.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, during chaos. I like to, actually, bringing forth the golden age has always seemed to be a lot of chaos, because there were two forces struggling against one another.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to the next caller, Harold, if we might. And this is Shakia from Texas, and she's on line one.
Hello.
Hello. What can we do for you, Shakia?
I want to know if I had any connection with Merlin.
Ah, you've got this sense of connection with Merlin. Well, King Arthur, this is Shakila, and she has a sense of having a connection with Merlin. Do you have some knowledge of this?
She is one that worked with Merlin, studied with Merlin in more than one lifetime. So indeed, she did have a connection with Merlin.
Thank you, King Arthur. So, Shakila, you have a connection with Merlin over many lifetimes. And so I would think that you're very interested in bringing forth information from the void or the unseen. Is that true? You're working with that? Mm-hmm. You might say, some people might call it magic. Is that something that you work with now?
Well, no, but I want to learn. And I was looking at a course. I think it was from, is it Almin?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I wanted to know if that would be a good path for me to go.
Well, you know, I prefer not to answer that question myself, and I have reasons for not wanting to. Richard, do you have anything to add to that? She was thinking about taking a course with Almin.
I think you need to follow your own guidance on these things. We have had in the past on one of these shows one that came forth. I think it may have been Yeshua who said that Al-Amin was a great soul that has come forth with great abilities but has been interfered with by the dark and so has lost her way to some degree. And so I simply mentioned that on the basis of what was said to us in a previous show.
But I would say this. I would give you the advice that Yeshua gave to people when he was on earth, and he was talking about going within. Richard and I call it working from the right side of the brain, where we are able to communicate with consciousness. And when Richard said, you know, this is something that should come within, this is what he was talking about. And it is the same thing that the early Christians did. That ability, for the most part, has been lost because of the kind of civilization that we have now using the left side of the brain. We would suggest that you work with this, and you will be amazed if you learn how to connect with consciousness, the answers that you get from your body, from those around you, from the universe. And if you want to know more about that, you can look up. Richard, would you say that a good place for her to look up would be at Metatron Minutes, at the soul healing information?
Yes, that's probably the best place to look.
Okay.
And then we also have another website. Is it Right Brain Magic, Richard?
Yes, rightbrainmagic.com.
Okay, so there too that you might look up, and what might happen is you might be prompted when you see some of the information as to, you know, just what you might want to do. Thank you for your question, dear.
Okay.
And the next person online is Jana from Niagara, Canada. She's online too. Welcome, Jana. And what question do you have for King Arthur?
Thank you. Hello, Richard and Carolyn. And
hello.
Hello, King Arthur. My question is this. I was in Glastonbury Tor just prior to the solstice and in Avebury and Stonehenge at the summer solstice this year, seemingly to energetically work with a clearing and sort of balancing prior to this past solstice. And I'm wondering if King Arthur could speak about a connection that I may have with that from the Divine Feminine coming in. Also, as I was climbing Glastonbury Tor for the first time,
dear, let's take one question at a time. It really gets confusing.
Sure.
When we do these add-on things. So you were in two very powerful, beautiful places, and you were there for the solstice, and you felt that the group that you were there to bring balance to the earth, to help bring in the divine feminine. Is that a good recap of what you are discussing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you want King Arthur's opinion on what that did that trip to the tour accomplish what your group had tried to bring forth? Is that the question?
Well, it was actually myself, not a group.
Oh, okay, by yourself. Did you, so is that the question,
my partner,
though?
Yeah.
Did you accomplish that?
Yes, and I'm still drawn to go back there. I may go back there in the next 2 weeks or so. I'd like King Arthur to comment on the ongoingness of
the
value.
So what we're seeing here, King Arthur, is that this young lady, definitely from what she's saying, has a connection with the land. She's working with it, trying to bring in the balance for the divine feminine, and she's doing this not quite understanding her role and what she came to do. And perhaps you can enlighten her a little bit.
This one was present in that time and has great connection with the land and also does indeed have a connection with the divine feminine. And so this one is contributing to that balancing process that she feels she is drawn to. It is understandable that she feels this draw and is making a valuable contribution to preparation for what is unfolding. Her connection to the divine feminine, which you could say at its highest level is the expression of Mother God or the High Cherubim Angel, because these two are very closely connected. That is the, you could say, expression of the divine feminine at its highest level. And there are those who come forth to support that process. And for the most part, again, those that come to do this kind of work are cherubim. I will mention here that there do seem to be a lot of cherubim turning up at this time, and I will mention that there are some 20,000 which come forth at these key times, some of which are in the etheric and some of which incarnate. And so they undertake key work at this time, and indeed you are one amongst that group that is undertaking some key work in this nature. So trust your intuitive guidance. Do what you feel is yours to do, and all will be well.
Thank you, Jana. We would like to take your other questions, but we're going off the air soon. Hour passes by so quickly, and we have a couple other callers, if you'd be kind enough to allow us to move on. Brenda from Arizona is on line 3. Hi, Brenda.
Hi.
What can we do for you, dear? Hello. What can we do for you?
I was wondering if the legendary story of how King Arthur was birthed, the conception, is that true?
Well, give us a little understanding of what you think it is. What was the legend that you heard?
Well, her husband was Pentagon. I'm not sure I'm saying these correctly. But he had a feast, he had a party, and King Arthur was there, and King Arthur fell in love with her immediately and wanted to be with her. So Merlin, he has told Merlin that, and Merlin created a potion for him. So anyway, she was put in the castle of Tenagel, and King Arthur went there and transformed himself to look like her husband. So she thought she was really spending the night with her husband when it was really King Arthur. So is all that correct?
Well, I'll ask him, but I have a sense that this is not a true story. What do you say, King Arthur?
This is the kind of web that is woven by those who would discredit what we brought forth, what we sought to create in that time. There is no truth whatsoever to this story.
Do you know the real parents?
The real parents of who?
King Arthur.
My parents were genuine people who were indeed quite lowly. They were peasant folk. And
oh, really?
It was my path through life that I was destined to connect with Merlin, and he in so many ways taught me so many skills that allowed me to step forth into the role that I came to fulfill. So I came from quite a lowly background. That was my origin.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, King Arthur. And the last one tonight that we can take is Susan from Washington State on line 1. Susan.
Thank you.
Yes. What can we do for you, dear?
Thank you. Oh, sweetie, just to reconfirm, if I came here for the help of the humanity through healing, and that's how I am connecting with both of you, and thank you for all the work, by the way.
Okay. King Arthur, did this dear lady, Susan, come on a mission to connect with Richard and myself and bring forth the commands?
He's saying, what do you think?
Well, we know what she thinks. Come on, Susan, put your hand up. Tell Richard.
It's a given.
Yeah, that you'll send him an email. And dust off those wings on your back.
They're huge.
They're huge. I love it. If you're going to have wings, let them be huge, huh? I could go for that.
There you go.
There's somebody I would like. Susan with the large wings. Well, we're coming down to the end of the hour, and I'd like to thank all the people who called in. And we have 3 minutes. And Richard, does King Arthur have something final that he wants to bring forth, or do you?
He's saying, I wish to thank you for this opportunity to come forth to share a little of who and what I was, and to let the world know that I truly did exist, despite what some continue to say. And I will just mention that it was about 400 years after Yeshua was the time that I was present upon the planet, to give you some sense of timing, because many have wondered about that aspect of things. So I just mentioned that in passing, and I look forward to perhaps being able to bring my beautiful queen forth on another occasion.
We would love to have you come back. Oh, we would love to have you and Guinevere come back. And we do have I was going to ask about the Golden Ages. Do they come about every 400 years? Can we have a quick answer on that, Richard, because we got to get off the line?
He's saying yes.
Yeah, I figured as such. Thank you, King Arthur. Thank you for everyone. And until next week, I do want you to sign up for our email so you know who's coming. Bless you all. And thank you, Richard, for your magnificent work.
My pleasure. Thank you, King Arthur, and thank you, Carolyn.
Good night for now. Until next week.